When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to WWD Voices. I'm Arthur Zachowitz, executive editor of WWD, and this is, I guess, our back-to-school, back-to-work episode. Hope everybody had a great summer, and today we have a special guest, Ken Nettori, president of the Nettori Company. Ken, welcome. Thank you for taking time out today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so the they say, I don't know, the summer is always a slow time, and it's nice to relax. I didn't get to relax. It seemed like things are busy. The market is busy, retail is on fire in certain spots, and it's dry in others. What's your take, and how was your summer, first off?
It's funny. Some industries, like finance, they slow down in the summer. I think fashion never slows down, right? You're always preparing for something. In the summer for us, it's getting ready for our August sleepwear market, our September clothing market. So, I wish there was like a summer lull, but definitely not true in our industry. Maybe in my next life, but not here.
From your perspective, you guys have, you have ready to wear, it's luxury, you have innerwear, you have almost every category that's important in fashion.
Yeah, we're trying.
what do you see? What's the consumer landscape look like right now for you guys?
So, there are a number of trends out there. I think one of them overall, which I think all fashion companies are dealing, is just, mass consumption is not in vogue, right? It used to be, it's like acquire as much stuff as possible, and that was encouraged and kind of the norm. And now with what's an appropriate focus on sustainability and the environment, like I think people are limiting that a little bit. So instead of just saying, oh, it's fine, I can just buy all of this stuff and return it, or just buy all this stuff and keep it and not wear it or throw it out after 6 months, there's been more of a focus on, I think, intentional consumption and considerate consumption, which to some degree maybe has reduced consumption overall. But I think for brands like us that focus on quality, that focus on high quality and, products that last much longer, we think, than some of our competitors, and also, a lot of items that aren't meant to be sort of, in one season and out the next, it actually can be helpful. So, we're very proud to be, a 47-year-old fashion brand, remain independent, remain family-owned. People associate us with our, East meets West aesthetic, but they also associate us with high quality and dependability. So to that degree, while there may be an overall sort of decrease in like the number of units consumed in fashion across everything, I think there has been a move to brands that are trusted and brands that are known for more, dependability and longevity.
So speaking of two things, one is what do consumers today, and it's like, let's call it the post-pandemic period, what do they expect from a brand, especially maybe a higher-end luxury brand even, and what do they expect in the shopping experience, whether it's online or in the store? What's the overall expectation, do you think?
I think it's interesting because we, as I mentioned, we remain family-owned, we remain independent, we remain, owner-operated. My mother, Josie Nettori, she's the founder of the company. She remains the CEO. 75 years old, still at work every day, and still, personally approves every single item that gets designed. I'm obviously very involved in the business as well. And I think, with customers, it's not just about product these days. It's not just like, hey, here's a product. I like this. I want to buy it. It's like, who are the people behind the product? What do these people stand for? Do I feel a connection with a brand besides like, oh, I like the way this looks? So I think customers really do expect more of a relationship with not just the product they're buying, but with the process, the team, and the people behind it. So we've really been trying to do more to, make our customers feel like they understand us more and to sort of storytell more around, kind of who we are and what we do and how we go about making product.
What, just real quick, what are some of the brand attributes for Nitori? How would you describe that?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, first off, from a fashion perspective, it's an East meets West sensibility. So, you know, obviously we have Asian heritage. My mother was born and raised in the Philippines. We're very proud to have a company-owned factory in the Philippines near where my mother grew up. And that factory has been with us since the beginning of the company. And so for the categories that we do in-house, we manufacture, you know, 60 to 70% of what we do at that factory in the Philippines. So, you know, Philippines is very important to us. I'm fourth generation Japanese American on my father's side. Nitori is a Japanese name. So we have that East element. That said, it's not a full East brand. It really is this mix of East meets West. You know, our customers, they know us for our prints. They know us for our color palette. And I think, you know, whether it is on sleepwear, clothing, bedding, hosiery, footwear, you know, whatever it is, people really can sort of recognize a Nitori print and really can recognize a Nitori color palette. We really try to make that consistent across all our categories.
And how would you describe, you know, in very broad terms, like the target customer, like who is she or he?
You know, it's interesting. So one of our core categories certainly is sleepwear. And by definition, you know, we sell our sleepwear in high-end department stores, Saks, Neiman Marcus, Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom, Bergdorf Goodman, Harrods, et cetera. To some degree, you would classify the sleepwear customer as probably an older customer compared, you know, a lot of younger people aren't as interested in pajamas or robe and gown. So for that category, you would say our customer maybe skews, you know, high end and possibly a little older than average. That said, we have a number of categories that are younger. Our bras and underwear have been, you know, an amazing category for us and have really helped push our brand elsewhere. And really that bra customer is not older. That bra customer is everyone from, you know, 18 through our older sleepwear customers. So really depends by categories. We're in so many different categories these days that it's hard to generalize. So I'd say, you know, our sleepwear customer maybe skews a little bit older, but we have many categories, including our bras, that really cater and are sold to, you know, all across the spectrum.
You know, this past summer, there was a shift in consumer spending, you know, to experiences, but people, especially younger generations, they were dressing up, right? Is that, and, you know, my personal take is, you know, I think the pandemic reprioritized or shifted things a little bit about what's important. Now, do you see younger generations dressing up more and going out more and taking more pride in the apparel that they wear?
In dressing up, I would say, so, I mean, I think COVID has really dressed down a lot. So, I mean, I can speak for myself right now. I'm in, you know, I'm wearing jeans right now. And like at Nitori, there were never jeans worn before COVID. And I'm sure if my mother had it her way, there still wouldn't be jeans in the office today. But we know that that's not reality. So to some degree, I'd say, you know, COVID has definitely eased dressing a lot in the office. It's certainly right after COVID, you know, that carried through to going out as well. When people weren't necessarily going out, we have seen a bounce back as kind of one would expect now that the world has opened back up again. So it really is a mix. I mean, I would say certainly all in all, you know, pre-COVID to post-COVID, the world is a more casual place than it was before. I'd expect to see that reverse back a little bit. But to some degree, you know, I certainly expect overall compared to pre-COVID, the casualization that we've seen is here to stay to some degree. Yeah.
We, you know, the thing that I can't get away from it every time I open up a newspaper, everybody's talking about generative AI and how it's being, you know, applied. And are you guys using any of that? Is it, you know, I mean, I hear in the fashion industry, there's, you know, concerns about like it taking, you know, the creativity out or helping, you know, maybe there's a generative AI that, you know, you could run an algorithm to create a more sustainable supply chain. I'm not really sure, but are you guys using it? Are you looking at it? Are you considering it?
you know, we're proud to say we try to be ahead of the game a lot to the degree we can with our resources, but we've been using AI in another form for about 8 years now. So we've used AI to power all of our paid social media. So all of our Instagram, Facebook, and other paid social that we do, we've been working with an AI partner for the last six years, I want to say. So we've, you know, saw the AI trend coming. We chose to start using it in terms of powering our paid social media, and that's really paid off well. If you're asking on the design front, you know, certainly that is something that is on the radar as well. You know, we are, as I mentioned, very well known for our unique East meets West prints. But we know that AI is coming in terms of design for a number of different things. So, you know, we've chosen to limit it more in terms of paid media, but I think every fashion company out there is getting prepared for, you know, what AI could mean to the future of design.
That's, and you guys, you know, you sell through department stores, you have a direct consumer e-commerce business as well, and you just mentioned social media. How do you do that? How do you make sure your brand is consistent through all of the channels, through all of the touch points, you know, with the customer? How do you maintain that? What does that take?
Yeah. So, you know, so I joined the business in 2007, as we were saying on air before. So I started out in broadcast journalism. I was a TV and radio reporter for 5 years, went to business school, and then was on Wall Street and happened to join in 2007. You know, to this family business that my mother started. And the timing was quite fortuitous because it was the perfect time for somebody to come in and lead a new effort. And that effort was to figure out what our .com strategy was going to be. Because at that point, we didn't really have any. Well, we knew we needed to do it, but nobody really knew how. And I sort of came in and just realized that was something that I could do. So we launched Notori.com as an e-commerce site in 2008. And we looked at two different ways to do it. One was to outsource everything. You know, there were a number of sort of one-stop shops that could say, hey, we'll run your website, we'll do the marketing, we'll do the customer service, we'll do the fulfillment, we'll send you a percentage of sales at the end of every month. And that was going to be the easy way to do it, right? That was like, we don't really have to learn anything. We trust this one partner. Let's do that. The route we ended up choosing, which happened to be quite fortuitous, was to do everything ourselves. That required figuring out how to do everything from building a website to, you know, to marketing, to fulfillment, all of that, you know, to buying for the site and everything. But we decided that because we wanted that control, we wanted full control of what we saw as the future of commerce, like we had to do it ourselves and learn a lot, invest a lot, kind of take the lumps and see. But fortunately, we did choose that route because having control of our own website has been great, not only from a business perspective, but also in terms of being able to control what that experience looks like and really control fully what the customer experience has been like. So we are very hands-on with everything we do. We are in all these new categories, as we've been discussing. As I mentioned, Josie, my mother, still approves every single design from every single partner we have. You will not see anything out there that she has not personally approved. And now we have control of our own website and full control of our own social media as well. All of that stuff is completely done in-house. So we do a lot of different things with a lot of different in a lot of different categories and a lot of different, you know, departments in terms of like how we sell. But really having control, demanding that we have control, whether we're doing it ourselves or through partners, especially through our website, has really helped create sort of a consistent brand message across all of these different platforms.
So the 47 years ago, right, the brand started and ready to wear, was that correct?
It started off in sleepwear.
Sleepwear. Okay. Yeah. And then it's expanded and evolved over time into a more than a dozen categories. I can't even keep track. What's next? How do you see the brand evolving over the next 40 years?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll say a couple of different things. So, you know, we are still most known in the market for our core sleepwear, loungewear, and bras and underwear. Those are our most successful categories. If you ask the average person who's familiar with our brand out there, they will say, you know, Notori is, they're very known for their sleep and their intimates. And we're very proud of all of those categories. We have supplemented those. You know, our vision is really to become an East meets West lifestyle brand across all categories. So we have expanded into, as you mentioned, into clothing, into footwear, into bedding, towels, legwear, hosiery, fine jewelry. We have a partnership with a direct-to-consumer scrubs company. We do limited dog apparel. We're doing children's. We're doing all of these different things. So we really, ultimately, if you're asking what's my vision 10 years down the road, it's that we've really expanded, a lot of those, a lot of those partnerships and really become known as an East meets West lifestyle brand that does everything. You know, one other expansion that we're doing as well, you know, we've talked a little bit about Notori.com. We have spent the last 15 years of the website really trying to first launch and then really to become a great execution website, right? So, and I think every website, they're like, how do we get customers to the site? How do we show them product in a way that makes them want to buy it? How do we make it easy for them to buy that product? And then how do we, execute that sale and ship to them? That's basically e-commerce in a nutshell, right? And that's what everybody's doing. One evolution that we sort of started last year that we're continuing into the future is like, it can't just be about shopping and execution because everybody's doing that, right? If it's just about shopping and execution, you can find that a million different places. You can buy Notori product on a bunch of different websites.
Yeah, it's like transactional.
It's just transactional. And that's great. And that was like, that's a long process to get there. But you can't just end there because if it's just about execution, like you can execute anywhere. What we really started embarking on last year that we're now continuing into the future is like, how do we get people to come to Notori, not just to learn about our product and execute a sale? How do we make it more of a content destination? How do we get people to say, oh, maybe I don't want to buy something today, but this is exciting on Notori.com. I want to go there. So that effort to really, start adding content to the site started last year. We launched live streaming with our partner Firework through BigCommerce in the fall of last year. And what that's done is really, we go live from our website, from anywhere, from like, all we need to do is set up a camera. We can do shows from our showroom. We can do shows from offsite. We can do shows from, Josie's Closet, if we want to do it. And it's actually been a really great way for customers to live in real time say, hey, oh, wow, here's like, it's almost like TV on our website where people can see our product, comment on it, shop directly, engage, ask questions. And it's really been a great way for people to, in a different way, learn more about our product, learn more about our various products, but then also learn more about like, oh, that's what Josie Notori is like. Oh, this is her son who's also involved in the business. This is what the Notori employees are like, because we've had employees come on and do the live streams as well. We've brought in influencers. We've brought on celebrity stylists. So it's been a great way to just create content and give people another reason to engage with us and come to Notori.com.
I love it. We just have a couple of minutes left. Any other thoughts? Anything you want to leave our listeners with? Any wisdom for the future?
No. I think we're very excited. And I think there have been so many great. I think the evolution of fashion and consumption. I think what we've seen the last couple of years has been really good. There's been a lot more accountability. People want to know, what do these brands stand for? Who are they? Where do they manufacture? What are the people behind them? And so, for example, there's been a big push for customers. They want to know what charities does this brand support? What are the causes that they support? My mother and I, our company, we've supported charities throughout the whole time of the company, but we've never felt a need or thought it was kind of weird to say, we like this charity. We like that charity. And now customers are like, we want to know that. So like, okay, great. So, we created a page called Notori Gives on our website that really, features the charities that support that we support, and really all of them are about, you know, empowering and educating women around the world. We give people, everyone who shops at Notori.com, the ability to ask us, Notori, to donate extra money, a percentage of their sale, to the charity of their choice. So, like, those are all great things. Like, customers should know more. It shouldn't just be about a product. You should really know as much about the product as you want and the people behind the product. So that's been, you know, that's good. I think this idea behind forcing customers to try, forcing brands to be, you know, sustainability is obviously incredibly important. So the idea that, like, hey, it's not great to just buy all this stuff that, you know, is gonna, you're gonna have to throw away in 6 months, that's all good. And so I think there have been a lot of trends that brands have been forced to step up the plate to the plate and deal with. And I think all of this stuff is, you know, is positive. How it all plays out, you know, I think we're gonna continue to see. But you know, the environment has changed tremendously. Obviously, COVID was the biggest shift and the biggest, like, you know, hey, everybody needs to change how they operate. We were fortunately able to pivot a lot. And it's really going to be interesting to see in kind of this post-COVID world, now that the world has more normalized, you know, where are we going to head in the next 5 to 10 years? And yeah, we're very, very excited to continue to evolve.
Amazing. All right. Next time we'll do this, we'll do it inside Josie's cabinet closet.
Yeah, she would love that. Yeah, I think the listeners would love it too.
Ken, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And we'll see you next time.